It's here and now. Economist Thomas Piketty is defending his book today from charges that he got his math wrong. Piketty's book, Capital in the 21st Century, has been hotly debated all spring because of its basic conclusion that free market capitalism leads to inequality over time. Piketty analyzed troves of data and recommended policies to counter that trend, adding to the ongoing debate over income and wealth inequality. But over the weekend, the Financial Times raised questions about Piketty's data. Chris Giles, economics editor of the Financial Times, wrote that criticism. He's with us via Skype from London. Chris, welcome.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, we'll get to what you're saying about what Piketty has said. But first of all, why did you decide to do this, to look into his numbers, look into his analysis and see if what he was saying was right?
Well, it was one of those times where it was really just luck, actually. It wasn't a deliberate attempt. We weren't out to find fault or error with Mr. Piketty's work. I was just reporting on wealth inequality in the UK. There was official data out Thursday a week ago. And I actually thought I'd like to do an international comparison. So I went to Mr. Piketty's book as a source of reference. And then the trouble was I found that the UK data was completely different to the official data that the Office for National Statistics had put out. And so I couldn't then refer to other countries. And I wrote in the article that this raised questions about both sources of data, and then decided the next day to go and look where these errors were. I thought it might be just something technical, but the more I looked, then the more I seemed to find that seemed to be wrong with Professor Piketty's work.
Well, what exactly did you find? Tell us a few of the examples of what you found that was wrong as you saw it with his work.
Well, it's quite easy to find things about Piketty's work because it's all online. All the sources are online. They all come from academic papers that are published. And so you can go back to the original tables and just look. And so some of the things are really quite basic and small, just transcription errors. In one table, which he says is his source, and it's quite clear it is his source, he's just copied the wrong number over. And sometimes you can see which number he has. It's just a fat finger error. In other cases, there are problems where it appears that he didn't like the answer that his own sources were given. And then in his spreadsheet, you can see he's just added two or taken off two to a number. This is particularly relevant in the US data, where and the effect of that really is to make his lines look more smoother. They don't really change the overall picture much. And again, it's not a huge problem, but it certainly doesn't make you feel very comfortable about the data. But then I think the two really big problems that we found, one is very relevant to the US, and that's where the data simply doesn't exist in the sources he gives. And you can see he's just essentially made it up. So you might have data on the wealth held by the top 1%, and he's also tried to have numbers for the top 10%. Now, the source data has nothing for the top 10%, so he just gets the top 1% number from the source and adds 36 percentage points to it. And he does that over a period of over 50 years for the US data. And it's all there in his spreadsheet. And you can see that's exactly what he's done. And actually, the data doesn't exist. So you can't really say anything with any certainty.
Now, he has responded to this, and he says he welcomes open debate. That's why he put all the numbers online. But he also says there's a lot of other data out there that shows what he showed, which is that there is rising inequality in wealth around the world.
There is some data out there which shows it. In fact, the data he used in his book doesn't show that for the US. And in his response, he cited other work, which isn't in his book, which does seem to show it. And it really depends what sort of data you use. So for the US, if you survey people, that doesn't show a massive increase in inequality in wealth. It does in income, but doesn't in wealth. Nor does data that comes from estate tax records. But he's now citing new data from income tax records based on sort of dividends and other income like that, which does show wealth increases. For the UK, now one of the biggest problems is with the UK data. None of the sources really show an increase in wealth inequality, and that's really understandable in the UK context, where by far the biggest source of wealth is housing, and that's much more equally distributed than any other form of wealth, and it's gone up in price a lot. So that has meant that even though there's people who don't have access to their own homes and they are still doing very badly, it's not concentrated in the top 1% or the top 10%. That increase in wealth has been shared much more generally.
But does anything that you found change the overall picture? That is the question that people are asking, that economists are asking after reading what you've done. Does it change the overall story or the conclusion that Piketty came to, which is that there is rising inequality around the world?
It does. Once you change the British data and use the most accurate and up-to-date data, which all the providers of data, there's other people out there who say this is the right data to use, then the UK, you don't see any rise in inequality in the UK. And once you take that out, then you don't get any rise in inequality in Europe. And then what that means is that even if you find some increasing inequality in the US, you can't say you've got a generalized theory for the whole world that capitalism, the central flaw of capitalism, is you're going to have rising wealth inequality if one of the largest economic regions in the whole world, Europe, doesn't show that.
So you do not believe that there's rising inequality in Europe right now?
There doesn't appear to be in the data. I'm just using the same sources he used. So I'm not an expert in this area, but I have been back through very carefully all the sources he used, and you do not see rising wealth inequality in the European data.
Chris Giles, you may have just poked a hornet's nest with this, and I wonder what your life has been like over the last few days. Are you getting a lot of criticism from people for even calling into question Mr. Piketty's research?
I'm getting both. I'm getting both plaudits and criticism. Because it certainly wasn't motivated by any attempt to find fault with Mr. Piketty's work. In fact, it was motivated by me wanting to use it as a reference work and then finding I couldn't. So I don't mind. I'm getting others, people who like it and hate it. What's difficult is where it comes from, obviously politicized views, where people who love it are on the right and people who hate it are on the left. I think there's a real need to look at this more carefully and try and find out what the truth is, because it's very important issues. And I'm absolutely not in any way saying that wealth inequality is not an important issue that should be studied.
Chris Giles, economics editor for the Financial Times, and we've got a link to his article looking at the data that Piketty had come up with at our website, hereandnow.org. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, have you been following the debates raised by Piketty's book? Do you think that income inequality is an issue that deserves more study, or do you think the results are in? You can let us know at hereandnow.org. You can also send us a tweet at hereandnow. You're listening to Here and Now.